Part 2. Mislaid. Chapter 15. Beneath the Tree. With the word lost, everything beneath Jack's feet vanished. He was falling, or rather slowly sinking, down through the place where the floor should have been. It was as though he was trapped in some thick substance he couldn't see or feel. The tree lights had disappeared. All was inky blackness. "Christmas pig?" Jack called in panic. "I'm here," came the Christmas pig's voice out of the darkness. "Don't worry. This is how you enter the land of the lost. It'll be light in a moment." Sure enough, within a few seconds, Jack was able to see the Christmas pig again. Like Jack, he was floating downward. Their surroundings became gradually lighter until Jack realized they were both sinking through their own column of golden light. Above them were two round holes in a wooden ceiling that Jack thought must be the floor of the world they left, his world where Mum lived, where everything he knew existed. Down, down, down they sank, and now Jack noticed that he and the Christmas pig were far from the only things sinking slowly through the columns of light. There were thousands upon thousands of them, weightless. Jack was able to twist and turn, and in every direction he saw more sinking things. Nearest to Jack were a teaspoon, a shiny red Christmas bauble, a dog whistle, a pair of false teeth, a hand puppet, a shiny coin, a long string of tinsel, a camera, a screwdriver, a plane ticket, some sunglasses, a single sock, a teddy bear, and a roll of wrapping paper patterned with reindeer. "You wouldn't think it was possible, would you?" the wrapping paper called to Jack. One of the reindeer on her surface was talking and blinking. "Third time she's lost me this evening. I've rolled under the radiator. She's panicking. Left the wrapping paper too, late as usual." The roll of paper had barely uttered these words when she reversed direction and began traveling up instead of down toward the hole in the ceiling. As she rose out of sight, the wrapping paper shouted, "Yay, she's found me. Good luck. Hope you're back up top soon." Jack didn't answer because he was too astonished by everything that was happening around him, and especially what he could see of the floor below. At first, he thought he was looking down at a carpet of many different colors, but as he sank further, he realized the carpet was really millions of things. Scared, he scanned the floor for the loser, but having no idea what the loser looked like, he couldn't tell whether he was there or not. The lower Jack sank, the louder the noise. The things on the floor were chattering and clattering and clinking and rustling until the sound was almost deafening. As their surroundings became lighter still, Jack realized he was inside a gigantic building, like a warehouse with immensely high brick walls and many holes peppering the wooden ceiling. The things that had reached the ground, the rubber balls and the diaries, the paper clips and tape measures, the cameras, pens and purses, were all jabbering away in their groups. Jack was so fascinated by everything he was seeing that his landing took him by surprise. His bare feet touched the warm wooden floor, and the Christmas pig landed beside him, in a pathway between a mass of jangling keys and an army of rustling umbrellas. "We'll need a ticket," said the Christmas pig briskly. "Come on." The Christmas pig led Jack off along the path between the keys on one side and the umbrellas on the other. They passed a knife, a skewer, and a long knitting needle. Jack could tell they were all important because they each wore a peaked black hat with an L on it, which somehow stayed balanced on the tops of them, even while they were hopping along. The things in the hats were patrolling the edges of the path, making sure the others remained in their groups and keeping the walkway free for things that had only just arrived. "Those are the loss adjusters," the Christmas pig muttered to Jack. "I've heard about them from things that have been here before. They're the loser servants. They enforce his laws in exchange for not being eaten." A pair of long diamond earrings now landed in front of Jack and the Christmas pig. They were sparkling so brightly, Jack had to squint to look at them. "Who's in charge here?" cried one of the earrings in a grand voice. "We're very valuable," shouted her twin. "We require assistance." "Calm down, lady," said a croaking tennis ball, bouncing up alongside Jack and the Christmas pig. The ball looked as though it had been chewed by a dog and was very smelly. "I've been through this a load of times before, I have. It looks a mess, but they're organized." The earring seemed offended at being addressed by an object so filthy. I think we're in the wrong place, cried the first earring, glittering as she turned on the spot looking for assistance. Where do the precious things go? Cried her sister. But nobody answered. To their right, the keys kept yelling up at the distant holes in the ceiling, saying things like, I'm in your other coat, you idiot! Or, you left me in the lock again! The umbrellas seemed quieter and sadder. Jack heard an old black one say, I expect it's all over this time. He's left me on the train. He'll probably buy a new one. A tin opener in a black hat now approached, walking on metal legs. She had a small box around her neck and thin metal arms just below her handle. Tickets, shouted the tin opener. New arrivals, get your tickets here. Let me do the talking, the Christmas pig told Jack. But before he could ask for a ticket, the diamond earrings pushed in front of him. We're in the wrong place, said the first earring. Where do important things go? Asked the second. Jewelry's over there by the west wall, said the tin opener, pointing. But you need tickets first. Here. She tore off two blue tickets from the little box hanging round her neck and gave one each to the earrings. West wall, she repeated, because the earrings hadn't moved. I don't think you understand, said the first earring. We're made of real diamonds. You can't put us in a bunch of common plastic beads, said the second earring. Surely there's a place for valuables. Get along to your waiting area, snapped the tin opener. Diamonds or plastic, it's all the same down here. We'll soon know how much you're worth up there. Clearly offended, the earrings wiggled off toward the west wall. The loss adjuster gave the tennis ball a blue ticket too. Dog toys are over there, between shoes and school books. It bounced away. The tin opener then turned to Jack and the Christmas pig. Have you just arrived too? Yes, we were lost together, said the Christmas pig. We fell out of our owner's pocket. Kids, snorted the tin opener, tearing off two more blue tickets and handing them to Jack and the Christmas pig. They're responsible for half the things down here, careless little brutes. When it's quiet, we can hear them crying from up there. Ought to keep a tighter hold on Teddy if they don't want the loser getting him, shouldn't they? I suppose so, said the Christmas pig. Nice workmanship, said the tin opener, looking at Jack. Good detailing. Thank you, said Jack nervously. Children's toys are right over by the north wall, she added. You'll need a lift. It's too far to walk. She gave a screeching whistle and an old roller skate came zooming down along the path toward them. It was the size of a golf cart compared to Jack and the Christmas pig. They clambered inside, both just tall enough to see over the top. The roller skate trundled off toward the place where the toys were waiting, and Jack felt a lurch of excitement. Any moment now, he'd be seeing DP again.